Hello everyone, welcome to the world's longest 2016 season review. This is the NRF1 podcast, part three of our season review from the Rush Cutters in Thorpe, Norwich, UK. I'm still with the main men right here. I'm Michael Bailey, by the way. I've got Richard Baxter, Dave Tillier from David On Cars, Kyle Cumbers, two times Beckles karting champion, 2008-2009, Steve Rust, and of course Perry Hamilton, whose surname is shared by Lewis.
Steve and I don't have credentials, do we? Like DT has credentials and Kyle has credentials. Do we have credentials?
Everyone has credentials.
You're a Porsche owner. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Porsche, playing it cool.
Okay, Porsche, so maybe to someone who doesn't own a Porsche.
To be fair, my credentials are self-imposed as well. It's like anyone. I've created an online persona. It's not. I haven't achieved anything.
Have Porsche ever been a Formula One team? Should they be?
Jack.
Yeah, not Porsche.
Lamborghini. Matter of time. Yes. Audi may be coming in.
Maserati were a team.
Maserati.
Bought by Ferrari. Oh. Alfa Romeo. They were a Formula team.
There was a suggestion they were going to come in as well, weren't they? Oh no, it was Aston Martin.
Could you imagine an Aston
Martin? Well, they were linked with Force India. Well, you know how you were talking about works team, Aston Martin.
They sponsor Red Bull now, though, don't they?
Right, I thought let's just reflect on sort of news and what basically constitutes a look ahead to 2017. The calendar has been confirmed, because obviously it's great to confirm the calendar literally a few weeks before the season starts. What we do know is that the Brazilian Grand Prix is under threat, that the German Grand Prix isn't taking place. And that's it, isn't it? And we're a race down. It'll be 20 races rather than 21. So we're happier with that, aren't we, Carl?
Yeah, I think 21 was too many. 20 probably still is too many. But it's a shame to lose the German Grand Prix. I mean, especially with a German world champion, Mercedes, Constructors world champions. Yeah, I'm surprised it's not more popular with the success they've had in the last 20 years or whatever since Schumacher. But yeah, it's a shame. Especially when you re-race in like Bahrain when nobody's watching. But yeah, it is what it is.
What it does mean is that in 2018, Paul Ricard will be back as a Formula One venue, because the French Grand Prix is coming back, we assume, again, for the German Grand Prix. So are we happy about that? The French Grand Prix back in Formula One?
I don't know if the German Grand Prix will be back in 2018 or not, because I think it was because they have their rotation agreement thing. And I think it was supposed to be Nürburgring this year, but of course they haven't got no money. And that was really bad English, but you know.
They have got money, Rich.
And they couldn't come to an agreement for Hockenheim to host it again or something like that. So, I mean, Hockenheim may come back in 2018. But Paul Ricard, I didn't know the circuit at all by memory, so I looked it up today and looked quite interesting. Reminded me a bit of Austin, but it looked to be quite a quick circuit. And there was like a lot of long turns in there. So, with more grip on the cars, they could definitely have some interesting corners there.
The only thing I can ever think about Paul Ricard is because they do some, they don't still do testing there anymore, do they? But for a while they were doing a lot of, they used to do the Formula 1 testing there. It's a very stripy circuit. It's like stripes everywhere. I think they used it on Top Gear for one of their Ferrari pieces, and there's just literally stripes everywhere, but I think it's all in the French colours, so it's very patriotic.
Stripy circuit.
Similar to Austin. It takes because it's very
it's stripier than Austin, definitely, but it's
stripier circuit of the year. I quite like that. Just a quick note, the 2017 test dates, they are apparently going to take place in Catalonia, although that hasn't been confirmed, but it seems most likely, from February the 27th to March the 2nd, and then March the 7th to March the 10th. We've got a whole new load of 2017 regulations, haven't we, Kyle? I think we stripped it down to more downforce, wider tyres and louder engines.
That's it, yeah. Which hopefully will create better racing, but I'm worried it won't.
When it becomes a case of aerodynamics, it tends to get in the way of people being able to overtake each other, doesn't it?
It's a worry that they won't be able to follow, which has been a problem for the last so many years. Hopefully the grip from the tyres will help, but I was kind of everybody kept going on about how quick the cars would be quicker, but this year it was like every race we seem to turn up there'd be a new lap record broken, or the qualifying would be 2 seconds a lap quicker than the previous time. So yeah, I'm not convinced it's the best way forward. And also, I don't really mind it being an engine formula. I mean, it is motorsport, so what's the problem of being an engine formula?
I do like how you phrase that question to Kyle, because you said it as if Kyle was coming up with. It was like, so Kyle, you know these rules you've come up with, you know, that was.
Well, I assumed you sent Paul Hembry a tweet and then probably one to Jean Tott.
No, I've only come up with the tyre compounds. I'll see if I can work over the winter and see if I can come up with something new as well.
We have a record of improving Formula One for the better here at the NRF1. That's why all our patrons get involved. And you can get involved too. patreon.com/NRF1. You can help us, support us, help us spread the word. I've got a few stats for you later on to show how much that's working. Join our patrons, help us spread the NRF1 words, and so we can make things better. Are you excited about the fact they're going to look like 1980s cars paired next year?
Yeah, as long as they're competitive and as long as they race. But yeah, I mean, I've seen some screenshots of those tyres and they do just look like chunky beasts. They look quite good. So here's hoping.
I'm excited for it as it's a complete change. I think it'll be really interesting to see how it all plans out, but I just don't think it's the way forward at all. You know, we got rid of wider cars years ago to help overtaking on some of the narrower circuits, so I don't see why we're going back to it. And as for the massive speed increase, the only people who I think will notice that will be the drivers. You know, the only time we'll notice it is probably on the lap times in qualifying. You know, and I think with all of this extra downforce, you know, I don't know how that will work with overtaking, you know, in terms of following, and, you know, down the straights they're going to be slower because there's been a lot of emphasis on trying to get a lot quicker down the straights in recent years, but I don't think it's the way forward. But nevertheless, I'm quite excited because it's just a complete change. And it'll just be interesting to see how it happens. So
you do tend to get a dominating team, a car, when the formula changes, but we're used to that. We've had that for a little while now. And it's interesting you say that. I don't think the teams necessarily convinced it was the way forward, because halfway through last year they were saying, probably shouldn't be doing all this. But they are now, and no one could change their minds. So there we go. A little bit of news. Red Bull have managed to sign up ExxonMobil as their fuel supplier next year. They've nicked them from McLaren. Is this a big deal? Does this sort of stuff really make a difference? Is anyone?
It's quite comical because they have stolen quite a lot from McLaren, haven't they? Tag was with McLaren, and now Tag are with Red Bull. I don't know if anyone can suggest any other ones, but I'm sure.
It's the watch company. I'm sure, it's a watch company left McLaren.
Tag.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Miles away.
Been a long night.
Kyle just remembers Tag as an engine. That's what it is.
TikTok engine. They do watches too. Yeah. Well, we'll see if that makes any discernible difference. Is there anything anyone wants to say about the 2017 driver lineups? Anything that particularly? I know we touched on it in part two, but is there anything that is catching anyone's attention? Or
I'm quite excited to see. We'll probably see how good Palmer is, because Hülkenberg is quite a good sort of way to judge a driver. So if he does well against Hülkenberg, then he's probably got a future in F1. If he doesn't, then he's probably on his way out. But yeah, it'll be a big important year for him. So
all I'll say is that we've lost three very big names in the sport this year, three quite individual characters in their own right, and we've got three. I think we've lost, regardless of what you think of Rosberg, I think the sport will be lesser for all three of those people going. So the guys that are coming in to replace that, to fill those empty seats, have got seriously big shoes to fill. Seriously big shoes.
The shoes of Felipe Massa, Jenson Button, and Nico Rosberg. God bless their souls.
Actually, I imagine Felipe Massa's probably got quite small feet, but the other two.
Ruin the moment, DT. Ruin the moment.
Yeah, I mean, it adds a certain dynamic as well. I think Steve touched on it in our part one. If you haven't listened, go and listen. About not being there to defend your championship. You haven't got a reigning champion. And as long-time listeners and everyone around the table now, I'm a big fan of pro wrestling. And having watched events of, well, I'm serious about this, having watched pro wrestling when, you know, the story is that the champion's been stripped and you're going to have a new champion no matter what. There's not going to be anyone retaining. There's always an extra element of excitement to that. And again, okay, make it a bit more legitimate. If you're a UFC fan or an MMA fan and you see people fighting for a vacant title, you know you're going to see a new champion. It might be someone who's held the belt previously, but they're not current. They're not the current champion retaining. That's new, that's history, and that's exciting.
It is. They've just got a bit of a void to make up for with Lewis and Nico, because that was a nice little rivalry. This is a message for you, our dear NRF1 listeners. In the last year, there is a young British startup that has shaken up the shaving industry. Over 100,000 men have joined Cornerstone and are now getting a smoother shave than ever before. It's a simple combination of great products, amazing customer support, free delivery, and fair prices that has made Cornerstone the fastest growing shaving company in the UK. It's basically shaving's equivalent to Max Verstappen. They've won numerous awards for their super sharp German engineered razor, just think Mercedes, and outstanding customer support, like a Charlie Whiting hotline, along with endless plaudits from the media, including GQ, Esquire, and the Daily Telegraph. That would be Max Verstappen again. Cornerstone know they need to earn your trust, though, so to let you try their award-winning razor for a fraction of the standard price, with this offer you can get £10 off their razor and get started for just £4. Just visit cornerstone.co.uk and enter the code NRF1 at checkout. Visit cornerstone.co.uk to find out what a smooth shave actually feels like, and if you don't like your Cornerstone razor, Cornerstone will even give you your money back, no questions asked. Now, let's get back to that NRF1 podcast, shall we? Well, we've got a few plans over the winter. Remember, keep tabs on our Facebook and Twitter pages at the NRF1, the nrf1.uk website. I'm sure we're going to have a couple of videos go up. Honest to God, we've got loads of big plans for the podcast back in 2017 for you, so keep an eye out. We'll be back bigger and better than ever. I think, boys, it's time for this. Yes, that Indescript sting is here to mark the announcement of the Prediction League 2016 results. Steve, this is the reason why you've been here so long. Well done for staying with us. How are you feeling?
Getting tired now, if I'm honest.
If he's honest. So, just to reiterate, the last week of the season we went in, we made our predictions. We also had our predictions we made at the very start of the season and those we made at the mid-season break as well to be factored in alongside our Abu Dhabi predictions. Let me go through the table, the final table. 12th place, Mr. David Tillier, mainly because you didn't get any predictions in for the last race. How do you feel about claiming that wooden spoon?
I'm quite pleased, you know, because I think even if you come second, no one's going to remember you. But I think being the worst means I will at least be remembered for being the worst.
You're the best at being the worst. You're the best at being the worst.
If you can't, you've got to be good at something.
Just look at how much we talk about Maldonado.
Well, you are literally the crasher into walls of the prediction.
The very last person selected in the NFL draft is called Mr. Irrelevant, and he gets a whole parade and a day named after him in the city that he was drafted to. So congratulations on being Mr. Irrelevant, DT. Well done.
Great stuff. It was just frequency that did for you, I think. 11th place was Hey Reese, who had one go at the predictions and got half his predictions right. The problem was he never came back again and he disappeared off Twitter. So I hope he's okay, primarily. But so there we go, a debut effort of 11th. In 10th place, Josh Raymond, coming home there. Josh in his new London abode. Jerry's, by the way, you obviously can't see what I'm doing at the moment. I'm keeping the iPad incredibly close to my chest, just so no one else can see. But it's not that important, really. The top 10 then, as I said, Josh is 10th. In 9th place, Johnny Parfit. He kind of disappeared after the same, but he had some good predictions in there early on, just faded away. In 8th place, Perry Hamilton. Now, Paige, you are a former winner, 2013. Yeah. Not your best season, but again, frequency probably let you down.
Yeah, I'm patchy. I'm in and out with it, you know. I will drop in and do like sort of like a couple of weeks of consistency and then I'll just drop out. I think if I'm at the pod to give predictions, I'll give them, but I very much am one of these people that won't text it in from outside. So the moral of the story is I just need to turn up to more pods, I think.
We also dish out kudos points. So I'm going to give the winner of the kudos points with 25 kudos points throughout the season. That's more than double anyone else. Richard Baxter, which says a lot for the boldness of your predictions.
The wrongness, which is probably more accurate, but go big or go home, as they say.
And you are going home, but with a really big tally of kudos points. And don't forget, if you want to join in with the Prediction League next year, 2017, all you'll need to do is get in your predictions before the start of FP1 in each race weekend. Just get them to us on Twitter or the Facebook page at the NRF1, the handles. Seventh was Timmer, who again kind of dropped off a cliff in the second half of the season, but, you know, scored well enough to hang on to a good mid-table finish. Sam Todd did very well. If he'd have been more frequent than his 11 stabs, he would have finished higher than sixth.
He threw in some audio for us as well, didn't he?
He did throw in some excellent commentary from the Malaysian Grand Prix. We like that?
You thought that was very good, yeah.
More of the same, please, next season, Sam. And you know, don't stop a commentary. We'll always get your voice in on the pod. Top five now, then. In fifth place, Richard Baxter. He gives a little nod.
Top five. I'm like the Bottas of the podcast.
Well, apparently, well, according to Rich, Steve.
Sergio Perez. He was sort of best of the rest this year, wasn't he, Kyle?
Best of the rest, I like that. Best of the rest.
I just worked out there's like six of us here, so, I mean, I'm top five of, yeah, that works.
That's a fair point. Fourth place goes to a man who's never been on the podcast, Kieran Cousins. Our man Kieran Cousins, who's been submitting his predictions regularly. He's done a lot of them, and he came home fourth. Top work, Kieran. You are the best of those outside the pod. So top work, Kieran. Keep that up next season, and we could have our first outsider winning the Fictional League. And that would make me very happy, I've got to be honest. In third place, it's Kyle Cumbers. Kyle, how do you feel about that? Were you reigning champion, weren't you?
I think so, last year.
Two-time
kart champion and two-time prediction league champion. You're right, Ped, you're right.
Obviously, that's not on Wikipedia.
should be. And make that so.
Yeah, I'm quite just been disappointed not to finish second.
I mean, you fell away at the end. You were leading with a few races to go.
After Steve's predictions for the last race, second was my aim. And then I could have a bit of a steward's inquiry for Steve bringing the game into disrepute.
We'll come on to that in a minute, don't worry.
But third's okay. It's okay. Stop three. It's fine. Yeah.
All within the rules, said Steve. It should be noticed that much like Formula One, we have obviously the actual regulations and then the sporting regulations. And teams tend to flout those sporting regulations. And then in second place, well, let's instead, shall we announce the winner? Mr. Steve Rust, you have won the Prediction League for 2016. We got there in the end. Round of applause. Kyle's not applauding. Now, it must be said, Steve, we did impose a 100 kudos point penalty for your last round of predictions, which did thoroughly park the bus. So you are on minus 96 kudos points, but that won't really matter to you, given you are top of the league. Helped out probably by the fact that the newfangled qualifying system, I think was only in for two races, wasn't it, or something like that. Had they have not used it at all, I probably would have been champion, but I had to make do with second for the fourth successive season. Steve, how do you feel with your triumph?
At least it shows that I'm not a one-hit wonder. I'm a two-time champion.
Are you now going to retire?
Nope, because I'm not German.
Well, yeah, fair enough.
But I think given the way that you've predicted it recently...
Sorry, hang on. What was that, Steve?
No, I think we should keep it clean. Continue.
Does that sound a bit racist? No, I don't.
I did that thing with your thumb and your forefinger that means, like, a teensy bit.
I did that. Schumacher was German and a seven-time world champion. And Vettel was four times, so does prove they can go on and win more championships.
I think we'll cut it out.
Go. Probably not as bad as me singing food to a national anthem. So
that wasn't though. There was nothing wrong with that. That was nothing wrong with that, and that remains my highlight of the season. DT.
Yes.
Was it about Germans quitting?
No, it wasn't. So, Steve, I think given the way that you have predicted, especially recently, I'd like to say that you are the Nico Rosberg of our season, of our Prediction League season. If I'm the Maldonado or whatever,
win it.
You have done just enough.
As I said, the sporting regulations.
So hang on, we've done the Prediction League and we've said, so DT's thrown it out there. He's the Maldonado of the league this year. Steve is the Rosberg. I'm going to put myself out there as former champion who just didn't really turn up this year. I'm JB. Okay. Rich didn't really get anywhere, but my God, he made a bake for it, didn't he? So he's Max. I'm going to say two-time champion, very, very solid performance, up there doing quite well. Probably the Vettel for Kyle over there in the corner. And Michael consistently coming second, never actually... going to get there, never actually going to win. You're the Ricciardo of the Prediction League. That's what I'm thinking sat here.
But still convinced that 1 year I'll win it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Does that mean that Michael has to drink out of his shoe now?
Yes.
Amazing. No, I can't afford any new shoes.
Well, no, because he didn't win, so...
True. When I win, I will drink out of a shoe, and it better be champagne.
But he's on the podium.
We'll save it for the win. I'll definitely do that. That'd be exciting. You can buy me the champagne. Wow, there we go.
I don't think just a shoe. I think like a welly boot or something. Just
quite a lot of champagne in one of those, Rich. That would probably finish me off.
That's fair enough.
We haven't got that many Patreon followers. It'll be Prosecco.
No, water. Let's just put the water in. It'll be fine. Final thought. Let's just mention Channel 4. This was their first year in the sport. Happy with how Channel 4 dealt with it? Was it just basically like formal, just like the BBC only on Channel 4?
I think they turned it into a comedy show. I liked it. Yeah.
Comedy show, yeah, but you mind it.
Who presents it?
Steve Jones.
Yeah,
Steve Jones.
That's the second time we've had to ask that question. There you go, Michael.
That's all you need to know about Channel 4's coverage is simply the fact that we've been here now for a couple of hours recording the pods back to back, and we've had to ask twice who the presenter of the show is, and that tells you all you need to know.
Epic.
I didn't really watch Channel 4, so I can't.
Right, brilliant.
I did enjoy the majority of it. Some of it annoyed me with the commentary, but that's just the commentators they have these days. It's not Murray Walker, so it's understandable. But the pundits having like Weber in and things like that, it was nice because it added a completely different dimension to the coverage, and it was interesting.
Apart from my annoyances when they would put the highlights on their on-demand service at like gone midnight and after that was very annoying for a while, but they seem to have improved
for a while.
DT's one man rage against the Channel 4 machine was amazing.
Literally 6 months ago, I think. Have they put it up yet?
I think at one point it was pretty much all I was tweeting about. My Twitter account is not particularly full of content these days, and there was a while it was just aimed at Channel 4. Like, what the f***? But other than that, solid effort. I've struggled to watch Formula 1 this year. I mean, I know I've turned up to all these podcasts, and there was one race where I didn't finish watching the race because it was dull as dishwater. But they've managed to do a good job with what they had. I mean, obviously we have had some epic races, but I think we have had a bit of a drag. The season has dragged a bit in some respects.
I think that second half of the season got a little bit sketchy over the way. Just to make the point, you're obviously listening to us, the NRF1 podcast, although the only other day I only just realised that our initials are NR, and obviously Nico Rosberg. We're basically the Nico Rosberg Formula 1 podcast. It's all gone haywire. But obviously not anymore. We're not quitting, for the record. We come from Norfolk, UK, hotbed of Formula 1 knowledge. That's why we do this podcast for you all over across the world, all you lovely listeners. Ben Edwards, the Channel 4 commentator, lives in Norfolk, I think, just about, certainly on the border. Not to give away his address. Jack Nichols, who commentates for 5 Live, he's from Reefham. Martin Brundle is from Norfolk and tweeted only the other day about how he'd been speaking to Norfolk fans about the situation with Lewis Hamilton. Norfolk is a hotbed of Formula 1 knowledge. That's why we do it.
And I've got a new one that I can add. The tyre pressure sensors in the Pirelli tyres are made in Diss.
Awesome.
Ayrton Senna used to live in Eton, down past the cellar house.
And Mark Webber used to live in Attleborough as well.
There's a motorcycle shop in Wyndham that's got a Ayrton Senna Formula 1 tyre in it that was bequeathed to them by Ayrton themselves.
And of course, we were, as a county, the home of Team Lotus. That's why we do this podcast, because we're steeped in Formula 1 history. And Jolyon's an Ipswich Town fan, but his dad owns Snetterton. Exactly.
Premier racing track in the east of England, yeah.
Which Jarno Trulli and Heikki Kovalainen have driven around in a Lotus F1 car.
They've driven me around in something or other, but yeah, not Lotus Formula 1.
I met Heikki and Jarno at Duxford all those years ago when they did their Team Lotus day. But I was going to say, speaking of Team Lotus, Classics Team Lotus is still here, and they're running probably, I don't know, half the classic Formula One cars these days. They're really making the classic Formula One world a bigger and better place. So, yeah, Norfolk, epic.
Epic. Mike Gascoigne, of course, as well, did a lot of good work in Formula One as a team principal. Johnny Herbert. There is a full list, and that's why we do this podcast from Norfolk for your ears, because we are in somewhere that knows what we're talking about.
But I was going to say, above all of that, obviously, what we bring to the Norfolk Formula One history is the most important thing.
I mean, clearly we're much better than what Team Lotus and those guys have finished. But I did just want to say that to review our season, this is the fifth season, I think, that we've been doing the podcast now. It's our most prolific. We did 36 podcasts before our epic season review. That's the most we've done in any season. And we've been going since 2012. We've broken through the 100,000 listens, which I think is pretty good. We did that this season. In fact, we've had more listens this season than the previous four seasons put together. More than 50,000. So I think that's pretty top effort. Apparently our most listened to podcast was our Russia review and Spain preview, which was, of course, when Daniel Kvyat got ditched out and Max Verstappen got the Red Bull gig.
People obviously wanted to know what we thought about that.
And we delivered. And basically all it says is that we have much more to come. We're hoping for an even better year next year. Thank you to our Patreons. And if you want to join us, help us spread the word over the winter and then into a big next year on Audio Boom, then you can do that. Just pay a visit to patreon.com/NRF1, P-A-T-R-E-O-N. We've got some big plans and we'll bring them all to you. And you know how to get us in all the usual ways. I think I've said that more than enough. Gents, thank you all so much for, well, sticking at this epic night and for all your work over the course of the season. Anyone want to make a final noise?
No.
I'm tired now.
Just thank you. It's been good fun.
See you in 2017.
Will you watch some races then, DT?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Hello there, Ian. That's like from your Mustang.
That's my Alonso impression from Austin. That's what you did.
I think we'll leave it there. And just to add, hopefully before Christmas we'll put out our best bits of 2016, a right royal rehash, which are clearly you'll all enjoy, I'm sure. But until then, thank you for an epic 2016, and we'll see you the other side of the winter for a whole new ball game in 2017. Until then, this has been the NRF1 podcast. See you then, and happy Christmas.